Hello and welcome to the programme. Today, 20 years after they were first sighted off the coast of Cork, the same humpback whales are spotted again in Irish waters. We hear about RHD2. It's not a robot, it's a deadly disease spreading amongst our wild rabbit population. And Terry Flanagan is once again standing on the shoulder of a giant as he discovers more about the black-headed gull.
We went out and we ringed 300 chicks of black-headed gulls on Lough Ree. So these birds all hatched on Lough Ree this summer in June, took a couple of weeks to fledge, and then it's kind of where do they go after that. So we know from other ringing projects that suggest, you know, they might move further south, maybe over to the west coast, to Galway or to somewhere like Limerick. Actually, the first two birds that have been seen from our project have been on a beach in County Meath, and I happened to see one on Bull Island 2 weeks ago in Dublin.
Yes, a very good evening to you and a very busy programme and a very busy studio we have too. Richard Collins is here with me, Ainani Lana and Ferdia Murnell, who's head of animal ecology with the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Ferdia, it's a long time since we've seen you. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. You're here to talk about something very serious, RHD2. What does it stand for?
It stands for rabbit hemorrhagic disease number 2.
No, well, that's fairly straightforward if you know what you're talking about.
Have we had a number one already?
We did, yeah. Number one appeared in the 1980s, and this is a new variation of it. It's a nasty virus, and our particular concern is that it's spilling over into hares.
So. Well, tell us more. How did it get in here? When was it noticed? Who noticed it? And what are the consequences of it?
So we first were informed about it in the wild. It's been in domestic pets in Ireland for a number of years, maybe 3 years, something like that. We got the first record in the wild at the end of July this year, and that was in a rabbit in Wicklow, and then very rapidly got a report from another one of our rangers of a rabbit in Clare that had the same disease. So the situation in Clare was out in Scattery Island, which is a public, it's an OPW site, so it's a historic property. And our ranger was out there doing regular monitoring, and she saw that there were many dead rabbits lying around. Now, I suppose to some extent, we're sort of used to that in Ireland because they have regular diseases, whether it's myxomatosis or whatever, and this original RHD1 would have been here maybe for many years before that. But she thought this looked unusual, and she had the presence of mind to take one of the animals that she saw dying in front of her, and we got it tested by the Department of Agriculture.
Now, when she said she thought it looked unusual, in what way?
So the animal died as she watched it, and it was convulsing and fitting and then keeled over and died. And as I say, there were several other rabbits around that had clearly died in the recent past.
Was it bleeding as well? Because it's a hemorrhagic thing.
It wasn't. That particular one wasn't, although some of the other specimens we've had since do. Yeah, it's an internal... So as the name suggests, it's internal hemorrhaging is what causes the death. So the internal organs fail. And sometimes that leads to external bleeding from the eyes and from the nose. But it wasn't until we had the test done by the Department of Agriculture and their virology labs in Back Weston in particular that we discovered that this was RHD2, and it was the first time we'd had it in Ireland.
And had it been anywhere else? Had it been in the UK? Had it been in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, we sort of knew it was on the horizon, I suppose. It appeared in France in about 2010. And that was the first time it had been discovered. So this is so viruses, as you know, they are very good at replicating very
Absolutely.
Rapidly.
And very hard to keep out.
And very hard to keep out, and they're very good at mutating, and a lot of the mutations fail, but occasionally a mutation is effective and can then replicate. And what this mutation effectively has done is it's given it a broader host range to work with. So instead of just being effective in rabbits, this disease is able to spill into hares. And we had heard that a number of species on the continent had already been affected. Then the brown hare in the UK was showing signs of this a few years ago. And then we have this first case in a mountain hare in Ireland, an Irish endemic Irish hare from August of this year.
Was it in rabbits in France when it was first discovered?
Yes.
So is that where it started, in a rabbit?
Yes, that's the feeling. And the very original RHD1, or RHD as it was called, was actually first discovered in domestic rabbits. So in fact, it turned up in China. Within a year, it had killed over 100 million rabbits in the farmed industry over there, which is enormous. And had spilled from there into various other places, and then has come into the pet trade as well. So we think one of the possible routes into the UK, for example, was in the pet trade. So apparently there's a lot of show rabbits that are moved between the continent and the UK. I've learned a lot about rabbits in the last couple of months. So a lot of the shows were closed. There is a shooting of brown hares in the UK. A lot of the estates that do that have voluntarily closed their shoots to try and contain the problem. We're a little bit perplexed playing catch up here.
Well, now, why would they close their chutes? Who's spreading it? I mean, is it spreading from animal to animal, or are we spreading it?
So one of the problems is we know really very little about this. A lot of the work that's been done has been done on laboratory rabbits, which has very little transferability to wild rabbits, never mind wild hares. So we have been in discussions with the University of East Anglia, Professor Diana Bell over there, who's done a lot of the research. And she has, I think, about 200 hares now in storage waiting to be tested, because they don't have the testing facilities over there that we have here. We're very lucky that the Department of Agriculture actually had a virology lab that was able to run these tests very quickly for us. So we're actually, we're sort of ahead of the curve now, having been sort of playing catch up. So it's very widespread in the UK, but they haven't actually tested a huge number of animals to find out, is it the only thing that's causing these mortality events? So in some parts of the UK, brown rabbits, or brown hares rather, have declined by 70%. And it's clearly RHD2 has a role in that, but it may be mixed in with myxomatosis, or it could be other things. There's also a European brown hare syndrome which causes the disease. The real problem that we're discovering is that it's very transferable. It can survive on in a carcass for up to 2 months in the wild. It can survive on the droppings of an infected animal.
So you think any animal potentially could pick up this virus?
If you
come along, you're a badger out at night and you're sniffing around for food and you sniff this dead rabbit and it's got the virus, and you say that the virus is lingering for about 2 months in the carcass, is it possible that the badger then can pick up the...
It's possible that predators can pick it up and transfer it. They won't be impacted by it, so it doesn't impact dogs.
Why not?
It's because it's a very specific virus. Now, it's not as specific as RHD1.
But as you say yourself, virus can mutate.
It's possible that a further version of it in due course may emerge, RHD3.
Yeah.
Let's hope not. But at the moment, what we have is RHD2, and it's only, as far as we know, it's only proven in rabbits and hares. Now, there's some concern also about shrews, which we might come back to, but that's unproven.
We'll do that in a second. But can I ask, for the benefit of the listener, and indeed myself as a listener, RHD and then RHD2, what is the difference? I mean, when you're looking at this through a microscope, what are you seeing that makes one and the other one number two, if you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not a virologist, but my understanding is that it is a mutation. So you effectively have a strip of DNA, which, as you know, we all have DNA in us. And as you recombine that, it allows for mutations to happen. Sometimes those mutations lead to new species over a long period of time. But viruses replicate so rapidly that they can produce new variations very, very quickly.
Yeah, maybe so, I can come in on that.
Okay, please do.
Actually did a degree in microbiology.
Well, then you're very welcome to the programme, eh?
Thank you very much indeed. But viruses are actually a most peculiar thing, because they're not actually a cell at all. They're actually only the DNA. They're only the reproductive part of a cell. So when they get into the cell of a host, they actually start taking over, making the DNA in their own image. So therefore, obviously, if they get into a rabbit or into a hare, the rabbit and hare cells, they're actually organized so that they can snip into that. So if they get into a badger or into you or into me, our chromosomes, our DNA is different to those of rabbits and hares. So if you happen to pick up this particular virus and it got into your cell, it would just say, what am I doing here? I don't know anybody here. And it wouldn't do anything in the form that it's in now. So that's why we needn't be afraid of it as it exists. Then, of course, it'll mutate, and that's a different story. But as it is in the form of RH1 or 2, it won't get into our cells and recognise itself at home and start taking over the shop. Because that's what the flu viruses do, and that's why, you know, it's so fatal for people who are compromised, because when the flu viruses that affect humans get into our cells, they're viruses as well, and they start taking over.
Yeah, but
so
every
it's
year,
a different mechanism to bacteria.
Every year, all of the pharmacologists or chemists or whoever it is, the flu people sit around and they kind of predict what flu virus is going to be out there, and we get a shot in the arm to help us fight our way through the flu and not get... So can you do that with the rabbits? I mean, but you've mentioned several times there the hare, and it leads me to think that perhaps you're more concerned about the hare than you are about the rabbits.
Well, to be blunt, we are. And the reason for that is that the hare is
Well,
for a number of reasons, but I suppose the hare is a protected species, whereas the rabbit is not. And the hare is endemic to Ireland, whereas the rabbit is found all over Europe. So we have a particular role within the National Parks and Wildlife Service to conserve the hare. So it's an iconic species.
So he's our hare. He's not the same as the hare in Britain. He's not the same as the hare on the continent.
No, it's
he's
a been subspecies, here. Isn't
he's
it?
Been here yeah. since the Ice yeah. Age, since yes. before yeah. the Ice Age, yeah. in fact.
Exactly.
So he's our one. And you were saying about why would they stop shooting and hunting them? Because obviously, if the population is compromised by a disease, and you're supposed to be a sportsman, would you be out shooting hares that are half paralysed and sick anyway? That's not sport. So not that anything is sport.
Well, that was animals. Also to stop the spread of the disease.
Well, it is.
That was the purpose of that. That's why I asked.
And it can be spread on soil and on bags and nets. and car wheels. So we're, you know.
And of course, the bottom line is that you're stopping coursing happening this year in February because you're not allowing the game clubs to net hares to have them for the coursing. Isn't that what the application of it is here in Ireland?
Well, that's one of the that's one of the measures that the minister has put in place, that she's withdrawn the coursing licence for this year, and that's, I suppose, that's an evolving situation. I'm not sure how it will evolve, but I suppose in the meantime we're constantly monitoring what's going on in terms of, we have rangers out looking in all areas to see can they find further evidence of this, and to date we have evidence of it in 8 counties. Most of the cases we have to date are in rabbits, but we have hares from Wexford and now from North Dublin both positive with the disease as well. So whether this is it actually actively spreading or whether we're just catching up and it's actually been here for a long time or a number of years, we're still trying to find that.
And Wexford is a good place for hares, is it not? Particularly the Wexford slobs.
Yeah, and that's where the first record.
Oh, was it? And up, yeah. Dublin Airport. Do you see plenty of hares around there, the Bull Island and places like that?
I mean, one of the interesting things we've seen, including Scattery Island,
not the Bull Island. Sorry,
they're all gone. Well, Bull Island. They're gone. Thanks to the dogs.
But Dublin Airport.
Oh, Dublin Airport is crawling with them. Yeah.
One of the things that we've seen, for example, in Scattery Island, is that some animals survive, so there are still lots of rabbits running around on Scattery Island. So whether this is to do with some sort of gradual immunity or something else that's happening, we don't know yet.
Because, I mean, if a virus kills all the hosts, then that's not much good for the virus, because it's going to go too. So, like, I mean, it doesn't make sense if you're a virus to absolutely wipe out whatever it is that's causing you to reproduce. So the virulence of them does tend to abate as time goes on. The animals then will become resistant to this and they can live in harmony.
We're just not sure where we are in that curve
yet. But we don't know how far on we are with that. Yeah. But it's not a good scene if you're a rabbit or a hare in Ireland, is it?
Yeah. Poor old rabbits. We've despised rabbits in this country. They're not kind of legitimate members of the wildlife community, brought by the Romans to the north of Europe and by the Normans onto Ireland and all this kind of thing. We shouldn't really have them sort of stuff. But the interesting thing about rabbits now is that they are part of the environment in a unique kind of way. Lots of things depend on them, you know. Lots of things eat them, foxes and stoats and birds of prey, buzzards and all kinds of things love to eat rabbits. So if the poor old rabbits are wiped out, then it will have consequences for other things. It is not, they do have a role to play. We should accept them as honorary members of our wildlife community. The other thing I want to ask is the poor old Chinese. They're playing for, all viruses begin in China, whether it's chickens or birds or the flu or the common cold. The viruses over in China are all over the place and they're always trying on new combinations on their surface until they fit in and then they spread like wildfire. And we have it down on China, you know. Is there any real basis for all of this? Did this thing begin in China as well? I'm sure they're going to say it did, whether it did or not. But there's a few questions there for you to deal with.
There were. I'm trying to remember. I'll take the last one first. I don't think this did emerge in China. I think it was first discovered in China. So perhaps it's a compliment to the Chinese virologists that they're actually on the ball and they're spotting these things. I think there's some more recent suggestions that it might have arrived in China from Germany, but let's not spread the blame too far and wide. Your earlier points about the... Oh, you bring it in. It has been brought into...
Yeah.
It's been brought into Australia. Specifically this particular one, specifically for that issue. Yeah, and they brought it in as trials to try it on offshore islands, and before they knew it, it had spread to the mainland and has caused widespread devastation of the rabbit
and no doubt widespread celebration too among certain quarters, isn't that true?
I don't know about that. I mean, to come back to Ireland, I mean, even though the rabbit is not a protected species, it's a very important part of the ecosystem here, and so many predators rely on it for food, not just the mammals, but if you think of things like the golden eagles and the white-tailed eagles and the buzzards and those
burgeoning
numbers of birds of prey that we have in Ireland now, we would be concerned about the impact it might have on them.
But mind you, they've introduced the rabbit to Australia totally against all of the ecosystems there and caused all kinds of ecological problems. So I suppose they are within their rights to try and get rid of those and rats and possums and all the things that are upsetting the native marsupial mammals that they have there. I mean, they're not immicable with the rabbits anyway.
Yeah, I think what they'd hoped to do was to do it in a controlled way. But what they found was that the suggestion is that even though it was on an offshore island and they were very careful about their biosecurity, that the virus virus may have been spread through insects. So a biting insect would have picked it up on the island and just flown back to the mainland and off it went.
Now, Dr. Murnell, have you a prescription? We've discussed the problem and all the rest of it and what's going on. Now, at the end, we're going out the door, you're a very busy consultant, a very busy GP in the wildlife world. So will you write a prescription for us, telling us what we should do and what we should not do? Is there any guidance that we can adopt about this?
Yeah, so we're getting a lot of queries about pet rabbits. So the National Parks and Wildlife Service don't have any role or responsibility for pet rabbits, but your local vet knows all about your pet rabbit, and there is a vaccine available for pet rabbits for this disease, for this specific version of RHD2. So anyone who's worried about their pet rabbits should talk to their vet and they'll sort them out. In terms of what we can do, what we're encouraging people to do are to keep an eye out, particularly for hares at this stage. I mean, the impression we have, and I don't want to demean the rabbit again, but the impression we have is that this is fairly widespread in rabbits right across the country. So as I say, we have records in 8 counties, you know, from Leitrim to Cork and Wexford to Clare. So it's, you know, it's pretty widespread. We're less sure about how widespread it is in hares. We don't know whether is it a real host? Is it just a spillover host? So a couple of the animals that have been tested for us in Back West and by the Department of Agriculture have shown very high viral loads.
These are the hares.
Yeah, which would suggest that it's very happy in hares. You know, it's not an accidental spillover. Whenever it can find a hare, it will infect a hare. But we don't have very many records of those, and obviously we'd like to get a full handle on how widespread it is and the impact it's going to have.
So
on
do you want people to send you in
so
pictures,
people can
photographs
contact,
of dead hares?
Yeah, so we have a regular contact with Nature Conservation at chg.gov.ie. I'm sure it'll be up on your website.
We'll make sure,
If people can contact that email address, and if they have photographs to send in, that'd be ideal. And that'll be passed on to the local ranger, who will contact each individual then and follow up where
possible.
But
if there's a vaccine for your pet rabbit from your vet, can you guys not find some delivery method to put it into the wild hare population and vaccinate them?
So, again, I'm not a vaccine expert, and there's all sorts of legislation.
But has that even been discussed? I mean, when you hear about RHD2 has arrived, we've now established it's in the rabbit population. We've established also that it's in some hare populations. You sit around the table like we're sitting around now with your people, and you sit down and say, what are we going to do about this? And what has anybody said?
Yeah, so we have discussed
Richard's question about the prescription, but what do you do?
We have discussed that. I mean, the issue is that the vaccine has never been tested in wild rabbits. Has never been tested in hares, so we don't know whether it's effective or not. So if we were going to go down that route, we'd have to organise a series of clinical trials.
Yeah.
It might be an option. But I mean, I think just thinking about it logistically, we have a population of somewhere around 250,000 hares. If the real host is rabbits, we have something in the order of several million rabbits. I mean, you start thinking about the vaccination.
But as you said, your survey, your report on the National Hare Survey is about to come out.
Yep.
So at least you know where they are. You have some idea where they are. So
well,
you,
I think
you can start with the hares.
Hares are everywhere. You know, hares are very widespread. We're lucky that they are very widespread.
It's an impossible task almost, isn't it?
It is an impossible task, yeah. I think it is. So I think, again, the thing about viruses, of course, is that they change so quickly that by the time you'd have something up and running, you'd
it's
be almost...
be number three or four, yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary, isn't it? Really,
it is scary.
How have we survived so long? Really, when you think about it.
Well, we haven't. Half the population of Europe died with the Black Death.
And then
the
flu at the end
of
the... Was it the First World War or the Second World War?
The
Spanish flu, isn't that what they called
it?
First World War.
First World War.
1918.
Yeah, more people died in that than died in the war, in fact. But there's always immunity to these viruses, and this is why the whole population didn't die. So there'll be some immunity. But the trouble is with hares and rabbits, particularly with hares, if the few that survive mightn't be enough to keep the population going, given all the pressure that's on these animals in the wild anyway, from land use and from hunting and from pressure from other species and pressure from ourselves. Yeah. If enough of them don't survive, they might go over the cliff.
Yeah,
because
that's
the
risk. I mean, and
one
of the advantages of the hare compared to the rabbit is that it's very dispersed, so you don't get them in large concentrations, whereas obviously if it comes into a rabbit colony, effectively the whole colony is at risk. You know, so the
all the embers coughing
and
each
they're
other.
Sharing it between each other and all that sort of stuff.
I'm sure the vaccine will come. If you've developed it for rabbits, in pet rabbits, it's only a matter of time before you'll be able to try it out, or a variant of it.
He said there will have to be clinical trials, Richard.
Of course there will, yes. But there would have to be. The bloody population going out their door.
The only comparator I can think of would be what's happened with the badger TB vaccination, which has taken maybe 10 years to develop. I mean, that was done through clinical trials.
It's on the go now, yeah.
Well, it's now ready to roll out, that was done very methodically, you know, step by step. And
yeah, but they weren't in whale bosh at the time. I mean, these lot are in whale bosh because they have this RHD2 killing them as we speak. Whereas the badgers weren't dropping dead with something else. We were waiting for the vaccine.
Anyway,
more pressure on the
guys, Fergus, stay with us if you would. And again, you can find the details of how to contact the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Do not send carcasses in the post under any circumstances. Do not send bits and pieces of aforementioned animals. Just photographs is ideally what you're looking for. I'm sure you can send them electronically. Jarlath will make sure that they're on the website, that address, so you can visit our website, rte.ie/